Today on Real Radio.
Our God made the environment, and that's an awesome thing. He's an awesome God. He's made an awesome environment. And we as Christians appreciate that more than anybody on the planet. But we understand it biblically.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Coming up in part three of What is Environmentalism? Pastor Jack recalls the fact that we live in a culture that's on an ever-increasing course of false doctrine, a doctrine which denies God as the Creator and denies the fact that He is capable of preserving His creation. Pastor Jack also warns us against adopting this doctrine and its programs because, in reality, environmentalism is rooted in ancient paganism, an ungodly religion which is enjoying a tremendous comeback through the worship of Mother Earth. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And as I mentioned, we are in the third and final installment in our worldview series of this particular topic, what is environmentalism? This amazing, strange, cult-like thinking that has, in recent years, taken off and has even been invited in by churches to become a budgetary ministry. I mean, right alongside evangelism, right alongside feeding the poor, right alongside of whatever is this now topic of going green. But what do we mean by that? And is there some sort of a biblical understanding? And we've been looking at that. If you've missed the previous studies, get them. You can get them online and listen. But what is environmentalism? I need to make it very clear that what we're talking about, first of all, understanding that as Christians, our God made the environment, and that's an awesome thing. He's an awesome God. He's made an awesome environment, and we as Christians appreciate that more than anybody on the planet. But we understand it biblically. We have a biblical worldview, which means our God made it, and the Bible says that we are to use the environment that's around us. We are to make sure that we leave it for the next generation, that it's usable for them, but we don't worship it. And we know that when we've read the Bible and understood what the Bible says, that God has created an environment whereby it has built in mechanisms to even recover from the most disastrous events, oil spills, shipwrecks, volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis. God has engineered into His creation certain remarkable characteristics. But what makes us different from those that are of the world in this thing called environmentalism is that it's become a religion, or I should say, a revival of a religion. We'll know more about that tonight as we get into the final discussion about it. Acts chapter 17, 28, Paul gives this tremendous argument to the pagans there in Greece, and he sums it up by saying that this God that he's talking about in verse 28 is the one, for in him we live and move and have our being. This is the God by which we exist. And the very one that Paul is introducing the Greeks to, this great creator God, is the one who is the creator of all things, because all of their gods there in Greece and in the ancient world were gods that were limited to certain areas. You had gods like Atlantis or Atlas, Titan, you had Zeus, you had all of these various gods that were believed to be presiding over certain areas. And Paul just goes after that culture and he doesn't bash their gods. He first of all introduces them to the greatest God of all. And he says, he's the one. And when he, in Acts chapter 17, tells them he's the one that's created everything, in a very amazing moment, in one statement, he wipes out the knees of all the other gods of the Greek world and leaves them standing there with this announcement of the revelation of this great God. And so as Christians, when you and I believe biblically and live biblically, the world is going to hate us. Didn't Jesus say that don't be discouraged? The world hated him long before it hated us. And when you stand up and when you say that our God created all that there is, and he created it according to the book of Genesis for us to use it to the benefit of mankind, just that statement right there will upset people. Because environmentalism is none other than a pagan worship system. And we're going to hear as to the reasons why. Now look, some of this stuff you've heard about, but I need to bring it to you again to get a good understanding of what the believer holds to in a biblical worldview is this, that Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, Hebrews chapter 1 through 4, for example, teaches us. Colossians chapter 1 teaches us. Genesis chapter 1 teaches us that it's none other than the engineer, Jesus Christ himself, that is the creator of all that there is. The Bible says that nothing that has been created was created without Jesus Christ, the architect. It's awesome. It's amazing. So we apply our biblical worldview to every issue that comes into our lives. We will use these arguments tomorrow at school or in our jobs. It's very important. So here we go. Once again, by way of argument and reminder, Genesis 1:1 begins there. In the beginning, God created, that's a fact, the heavens and the earth. Verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. We looked at what that means, that it's coded. It's got its specific information to reproduce after itself. There's been no deviation from that outside of itself. Whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. Verse 20, then God said, let the waters abound in abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. Verse 21, so God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind. Wait, who made the cattle? Remember that as we get into the study. He did it. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That is our moral likeness. The Trinity announcing, man will be made in the moral likeness of God. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Note this, male and female, he created them. Genesis 2:15, this is all introduction. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. This is all prior to the fall. Genesis 1:31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was what? Very good. What is environmentalism? It's a very interesting argument. It's a very interesting thing. And for most of us who've been out of school for a while, it doesn't tally up in our minds. We don't get it. But our young generation's dealing with it. Historically, it is the collective sense, listen, it is the combination of all the gods of the Babylonian worship system and all that they represent, because environmentalism is a very ancient worship system. It's a vast array of gods and goddesses that control the heavens, the earth, the world, the underworld. And you say, are you crazy, Jack? Environmentalism is cleaning up after yourself. We should always clean up after ourselves. We shouldn't litter. Absolutely, we should not litter. Isn't it weird that we have to have a law to say we shouldn't litter? That's pathetic. Of course you should not litter. But when we talk about environmentalism, we are talking about what is infiltrating our culture, and successfully so, that the earth is dependent upon us. It personifies the earth as though it has feelings, as though it somehow can't survive without us. Environmentalism is, in many ways, a declaration. It's kind of interesting, kind of awkward. It's a declaration that either A, we're evolutionist, But we've got to take care of the earth or else it will die, and then we'll die, which is strange if you think about the evolutionary theory and you adhere to that. Or we believe in God, but he doesn't really take care of the stuff that he's made, so we've got to do it for him. And boy, did I get an eyeful today of researching churches in America that are having conferences and having symposiums and having sermons on this saving the earth. And yet my Bible tells me that my God made it. He knows all about it. He has sustained it. And he even gave us the authority to manage it. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying by no means that anybody should abuse the earth. We shouldn't go around nuking it just for fun. We shouldn't go around polluting it just for fun. In fact, I think God would have us to do the opposite. But there's a way to do that. There's a way to have dominion, as God said, over it all. We're right here now in our study, fourth point, the fallacy of environmentalism. And it's basically this. What is the fallacy of it? Can I say this? Strong word, but I think you'll see some of it tonight. The deception of it? The deception of it. It leaves God out of the factor of what he has made. We look at this amazing creation, and it somehow needs us now to preserve it, to protect it. We should tend to it, and we should nurture it. There's no doubt about that. We should be excellent stewards over the earth that God has given us. But when man begins to push God out of his thinking, man naturally fills the void. Push God out, man steps in. When man steps in, he'll have a doctrine of or to warrant his actions. And it becomes a worldview. Environmentalism is a worldview. Now, here's the facts. God is in control according to the Bible, and he has set his laws of nature in motion. And his creation, listen, to this very second, his creation obeys the laws of God. That's a scientific fact. Our God is the God of science. Also, God knows what he's doing. Don't respond, because I'm afraid, I don't know what kind of answer I'm going to hear. But do you believe that God knows what he's doing? If you do believe that God knows what he's doing, then you have faith in God. Does he know what he's doing? Yes, he does. Then his biblical record is true. He knows what he's talking about. God is about, I believe, to shake, if we look at the world around us. You can look at what's happening in the world around us and like, oh my goodness, you know, what's going on? Well, God knows what's going on. But the world, is there not wars and rumors of wars right now? So church, jot this down. Number five, and we're almost done. Number five, what is environmentalism? We're looking at this now. The effects of environmentalism. What is it? What's the effects? Number one, there's the economic effect on environmentalism to the countries that have embraced it. You can look at the Kyoto Agreement. Some of you have never heard that before. Kyoto. Us oldies have heard about it. We watched it happen. The Kyoto Agreement. The nations that have embraced the Kyoto Agreement to adopt the laws of an international environmental program, those nations have been suffering economically since. And here's the most tragic thing of all. The middle class in those countries, if there are any middle class, they've done okay. The rich in those countries are completely unaffected. And those countries that embraced environmentalism, guess who paid the price? The poor. The poor were no longer allowed, for example, to have DDT sprayed over their fields because it was banned by the United Nations. And they began to suffer crop failure because it stopped killing the locusts and the grasshoppers that were consuming their crops. And who did it affect? The poor. And starvation has risen since in nations that have adopted. In fact, just recently, I don't know if you saw this on the news. You can Google it later. Not now. You're in church. Don't use it now. You're focus. Focus. Drop that iPad and look at me. Canada was just recently warned that if they didn't meet the requirements of the International Environmental Agreement of Kyoto, that they would be penalized literally I think it was $100 or $150 billion. I'd like to know where the money was supposed to go. And Canada said, listen, we cannot sustain our people in Canada. The Canadians, this is what the Canadian Minister of the Environment said. If we were to do what's imposed upon us, our people would suffer in Canada. And to meet the standard, we would have to literally remove every vehicle in the nation off the streets to meet the restrictions. And it would destroy our economy and our national security, and people would suffer. Church, listen, that's exactly what happens when this hyper-environmentalism is embraced. And everybody, look, I am no fan of George Bush, the younger, the former president. I'm no fan of his. But when the Kyoto came, he said, we're not going to do that. It's destructive. And the world laughed at him. And the world hated him. And now nations are saying, you know what? That crazy Texan was right after all. And Canada's pulled out of the Kyoto Agreement. What else happens? The effects of environmentalism show statistically that there's a decrease in living standards because there's no money available any longer to help the general population. It goes to other issues. Healthcare is lessened. That there's a loss of independence or freedoms. The rise of airborne diseases and insect-carrying diseases has gone up. The death rates among the young and elderly in the nations where environmentalism has been adopted has gone up. All these things you'll click on and it will take you forever to find the truth, because what you get up front is all the spin and all the junk. And I'm not kidding, I was tired of reading and listening to Al Gore literally speak to Congress on how nuts everyone is and how right he is. And 30,000 scientists now condemn the global warming data. That's why you're not hearing about it anymore. But we're not being told that in the 70s. How many of you were alive and thinking in the 70s? Raise your hands. Do you guys remember when we were told that we better be careful and get ready? Because what was coming? The Ice Age. I'm not joking. In the 70s, we were warned that we were going to be plunged into massive crop failure, massive global economic failure, because the polar caps were growing and we were going to experience an ice age. I'm not joking. You can look it up later anywhere. It's remarkable. Well, that didn't happen. In total, it's a false worship system that has caused untold suffering and poverty worldwide, and tragically, tonight it increases. Sixth and final argument, what is environmentalism? It's this, the reality of environmentalism. What is it? The reality is this. If you just trace and study the foundations of environmentalism, the reality is that it's the secular altar of environmentalism that is a secular / pagan ancient religion, and it's enjoying a tremendous revival right now in all areas of our culture. It is ultimately the worship of Gaia, G-A-I-A, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, she's called Gaia in Greek mythology. In Roman culture, she's Terra, T-E-R-R-A, the mother of all. She's called upon by her worshipers to provide. She's the one that guards them. She's the one that gives them prosperity. Out of her comes the ability to reproduce. It's been believed on since the ancient times of Babylon. In 1 Kings 14:23, the Bible says, "For they also built for themselves high places and sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill under every green tree." I'm not making fun of the word green. What they did under those green trees is that they would actually, in earth worship, Israel was in trouble for adopting the worship practices of the pagan nations. When they got their eyes off of God, they embraced that ancient environmentalism, and it was the worship of the earth gods. And they so believed that this gives life. For example, in Egypt, and I know we have some people here from Egypt, the beetle, what is the name of the scarab? Is that the right word? The scarab beetle. You say, what? Have you ever seen Egyptian jewelry or Egyptian art, and there's this beetle? Why would somebody wear a gold beetle around their neck like that? What's with that? That is nigh unto a deity. Because the Egyptians looked at it, and actually, before they looked at it, they were looking at a pile of camel poop or oxen poop. And out of the poop would begin to shake and vibrate, and out of the manure would come a beetle. It would grow, mature, and come out. And they said, This is life. I'm not kidding. And it was worshiped. You say, well, I'd never do that. But people strap themselves to trees. Now, let me tell you something, I love trees. They're awesome. But you strap yourself to a tree and people living in a tree, you can't cut this tree down, this tree. Now, I don't want to make this public or anything, but man, if the city came and wanted to chop down my tree, I would think about strapping myself to my tree saying, this is my tree, I paid for it, get off my property. But I couldn't strap myself to the tree and say, you can't cut this tree because it will cry, it will bleed, you will anger the earth. And what did we see people doing up in the Oakland Bay Area, doing that very thing? The earth's going to retaliate, just wait. That's environmentalism. And we laugh, but it's real. And listen, when you and I read the Bible, for example, in 1 Timothy 4:1, how do we correlate? Is there any way, do you think Paul is thinking, I believe he was, by the way, when Paul said to Timothy, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You and I think that must be cults and the occult. True. That must be aberrant doctrine being peddled at our door. True. But is that all there is? If somebody comes along and says, we need to come here right now. There was a tsunami. It devastated Thailand or Japan. And we have to make an offering to the sea. Now think, everyone. We have to make an offering to the sea to appease the sea. You say, nobody on the planet thinks like that. Have you been to Sedona, Arizona? I've seen it. You can buy rocks and crystals that you can bathe in. You just put them in your tub and you sit there and energy is supposed to come out and do something to you. Literally saw a guy driving down the street in a convertible Porsche with a pyramid on his head. And you think, well, that was just a joke or something. And you go into the stores and it tells you all about the pyramid power and all about these things going on. And it's people believe it. And you say, yeah, but those are crazy people. But doctrines like that come along. And listen, Satan doesn't care how he gets someone into hell. God loves you and Satan hates you. Satan hates God. And the only way that Satan can inflict God is by taking you. That's why every person that gives their heart to Jesus Christ, trusts in him, that is a piece of coal, as it were, plucked from Satan's crown and a gem placed in the crown of Christ, as it were. Redeemed, redemption.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in part 3 of What is Environmentalism? A study on how to approach environmental issues through our Christian faith. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens. And we will continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And before we let you go today, I want to remind you about our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a great website, real easy to point and click around and get what you need from Real Radio. We've got a lot of resources there. We've got sermons, we've got YouTube, we've got the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. That's a great app for you to spend some time on. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.